I like fat baby feet. And that is a beautiful child God has blessed you with. So this is like a charge today. This is like when they ordain preachers, they give them the charge. And they take a commitment. And this is a charge to mom and dad. And inherent in it is a question. What kind of home do you want? What kind of house do you want to come home to? What kind of home do you want her to grow up in? When she's 15, what kind of child do you want her to be? What kind of life do you want her to live? Because you can have dreams, but dreams don't materialize out of thin air. Rather, dreams break forth out of process and purpose. Things that you nail down right now in your home and in your own life. And those things serve as foundation for her to ascend beyond where you've been able to go. We want her to be great in the kingdom of God. So this is a commission. I want to read a couple of Psalms to you here, since we're in the Psalms and it's kind of like where we are anyway. All right. Psalms 127. And everyone say, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You need to hear the word of the Lord today and know and understand that unless God is on your side, you can't be assured that your house will stand. It's got to be built on a rock. Except the Lord keep the city. Everybody say, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. The scripture is so very clear. We do the work. We understand how it works. The field out back will never become a productive garden unless there's a farmer that's willing to go and willing to work. And you know it doesn't come up all by itself. But the wise farmer knows, I do the work. I put in the seed. I do everything that's required of me. But it's God that brings forth the spark of life out of that seed. And so we understand that faith is not some sort of an ethereal thing out here where you just believe and God does. Nobody ever raised up a farm by just believing. Nobody ever raised up godly kids by just believing. And I'll go further. Nobody ever went to heaven by just believing. It's not about what you believe. It's about what you do. But we understand. We have a watchman. That would be you. But everything you do there for her, I know you'd fight all of hell, lions and tigers and bears for her right now. Never before in your life may you have, you might not have crossed over the Rubicon on this. You may not have ever come to the place where you knew for sure you'd take a bullet for somebody else. But now you know. No question about it. You wouldn't even think about it. Now you know. They do that to you. They do that to you. So you be the watchman. But you wake in vain. And all your strength and all your skill and all your hard work is in vain unless God is in the house. Got to have God in the house. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Do your best and relax in God, because God's got it all in control. Verse 3, lo, children, everyone say, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. They'll have a place of power. They will represent you well. And they'll take care of the enemies. It's an incredible thing when you can project children and assault the enemies of the things that you hold dear in a time where you don't have the power nor the strength to encounter them. Years down the timeline, you can project Lacey. Lacey can pray an apostolic prayer when your lips have been sealed up until the coming of the Lord. Lacey can walk an apostolic doctrine and touch somebody's life after you've gotten to the place, either in age or in death, where you couldn't go on anymore, like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Praise God. Praise God. Here's a promise. Psalms 128. Everyone say, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, that walketh in his ways, that walketh in his ways. Not thinks, not believes, but you do it. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. This is a promise. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, and your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, that thus shall be the man, he shall be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. What a promise. What a promise. Praise God. Well, Brother Jeff and Sister Molly, I've got a Bible here for her. You know the drill. She's asleep, folks, in a Pentecostal church. Some folks say, oh, it's just too loud in there. It doesn't bother these kids. They sleep right in the middle of it. And when they're old enough to, the first thing they do is stand on their feet and praise and magnify God. You don't like it because that's not how you were raised. You don't like it because it draws you to repentance. You don't like it because it convicts your heart. But the babies like it. And the kingdom of God is like a little child. Get in line here and take notes. We have a Bible for you. I entrust it to you. Will you be a godly man? A godly father, and keep your house so that when she steps forth into life, she'll have everything that she needs to bring glory and honor to the kingdom of God and serve God. Will you do that? Praise God. Praise the Lord, Sister Molly. You're going to be committed to be a godly mom. You're going to live for God and give her an example. You're going to teach her what it's like to be a godly woman. No matter what the world does or those that are around you, because they're going to be pulling at her in a million different directions. They want her to go down to the bar room. They want her to sit in front of the devil vision and watch all kind of ungodly stuff. But what are you going to say? Oh, there she is. You're a smart girl, Molly. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Praise God. You're going to show her what a godly woman lives like. Praise God. Praise God. You're going to be the watchman over the house, keeper of the door. You got a sword? You're going to need a baseball bat. Good deal. Good deal. Well, I want grandmas and grandpas and great grandma and aunties and uncles and all the entourage, all the Lacey entourage. All our people. These are Lacey's people. I want you to get up in here where you can lay your hands on them, especially your grandparents. Mother Riggs, won't you come right in here? Praise God. Lay your hand on this man and on this baby here. All of you folks, just there you go. Church, extend your faith, extend your hand toward them. Let's pray for them. In the name of Jesus and by the word of the living God, I pray the blessing of God on this house today, on Lacey in body and spirit. Make a way before her, oh God. Direct her path and order her steps. I pray you lay your hand on Jeff and Molly. Make them mighty in the kingdom. Make them, God, a gift from God to her, to teach her the ways of God, to show her by example how to walk before you, God. Grant them wisdom beyond their years, oh God, and understanding and knowledge to build the house and establish it and to fill it full of precious things. I pray that you'd give them everything they need. Turn aside every lying and hindering thing, oh God, and let the blessing of God be upon this home and family. According to your word, let it be so. For the word of God is true. The word of God never fails. Let it be so in the name of Jesus. Cause the house, cause the family to be a blessing. Cause them to be blessed. And let's give God praise and thanks for it. Let's do it right now in Jesus' name. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you, Lord God. We lift you up. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Well, congratulations. And we appreciate your commitment to God. And what a wonderful group of elders and family. And what a strong family group, extended family that she has here, not only in blood, but also in spirit in the church of the living God. She's a blessed little girl, and we're going to see great things in this house and in this child. God bless you. Appreciate you. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Go ahead. Well, glory. Well, isn't that sweet? There's sweet just running down the walls in here this morning. Praise God. Well, let's stand, and we're going to continue to praise the Lord with our giving this morning. And we'd ask that you'd give as unto the Lord. If you're a guest here, we're just... What a mighty God he is, and worthy of all the praise. Praise God. If you were in Alexandria, Sister Vesta Manga would tell you, break those veins. If you were in the first century, the Apostle Paul would tell you, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart. Praise God. We love Brother Danny Hood and appreciate him and his family and the good work that they're doing in the kingdom of God, and our glad to call them friends, and we're so glad that he's here with us this morning. And I'm excited about the ministry of the word this morning and this evening, and I want you to make him welcome. Just lift up a shout and clap your hands or wave your hand, whatever, as he comes. Pray a blessing for his household and his family as he comes this morning. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Great to be back in Alabama. Amen. In Alabama, that sounds like alabaster. So instead of breaking open the alabaster box, we'll just break open the Alabama box. Amen. If you can give me Ephesians chapter 2 and about verse number 17, 18 up on the screen. As you're turning there today, I want to tell you something I'm real excited about. We started a few weeks ago, and about six, 7 weeks ago, I felt the Holy Ghost impress me to be a part of sending revival to Iraq, and we started sending these two books, The Desperation Zone and The Impossibility Zone, to our soldiers in Iraq. We already have had about 600 books go over. I'm working with a young man out of Brother Jesse Williams Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, who's associated with Fort Bragg, many of the soldiers that have gone from there. We have contacts in Iraq that are receiving these books and then distributing them among their friends. We're also getting ready to send about 500 to 1,000 books to Virginia Tech. That's self-explanatory. If you want to be a part of this mission, every $5 pays for a book and a Bible study. Now, we're not sending Bible studies to Iraq, just the books, but we are going to be using these books not only in tragic moments like what happened at Virginia Tech. We've also begun to use them in prison ministries And so when they're using the prison ministry, it's coupled with a book and a Bible study called Escape. So if you'd like to be a part of sending several books over, they're just $5. Every $5 you give, I've got forms. I'd like to know who gives what and so on. I just got a report of the books that went over to Iraq. They've also sent books. I had it on my phone here. I was gonna read it to you. To a colonel, a Reverend Mahoney, who is a pastor he's in the Army and he's a pastor in Korea. So they've also sent books with him for distribution in Korea and military bases, or the military that go to Iraq from there. So if you want to be a part of that, I certainly appreciate it. And if you can't do anything, pray for them, because I really believe we've already raised enough funds for about 1,000 books. We need 3,000 books. They want 2,000 right now in Iraq, and then we're wanting to send 1,000 to Virginia Tech. Now, I'm going to send them anyway. I've already got them, most of them earmarked and ready for the post office. So I believe in revival. In fact, I was preaching in Jackson, Mississippi, and I got to tell them there, I told my wife, I said, man, if this thing really gets to going, I wouldn't mind going over to Iraq and travel around, sit down with different ones. It wouldn't have to be crusades, but just get different Bible study groups together and talk about the Word of God, and who knows what would happen. And I said, I mentioned it to my wife. I said, would you like to go to Baghdad? No. She didn't even pray about it. You don't want to pray? No. When I said that, Brother Kraft hopped up out of his chair and run over and said, I'll go with you. So we got to laughing, because Brother, if you don't know Brother Kraft, he's 75 years old and he's been in ministry for a long time. His nephew now is pastor and he's bishop. His nephew's about my age. He's about 38. Brother Chris Kraft, he's preached here for you. You probably remember him. And he said, well, I got to thinking maybe I'd go with you too, but he said, I might not be a good idea for the pastor and the bishop both to be over there. And I said, yeah, you and I'd be the ones blown up. And Brother Kraft, he just kind of walked right on through the smoke. 75, already been through all the battles. But anyway, I want you to pray about it, pray for it. I really believe in this endeavor, and I thank God for that. And it's great to be back here. I'm wanting to see these babies, and I guess they're on en route. There's all kinds of babies being born. I got a new baby. It's about 8 months old now, and maybe I can show you a picture of him tonight. Barrett, I thought I was the head of the house, but he's taking over. Whatever he wants, he gets. Just when I thought, I got a 13-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son, I thought, I'm at the place now where I can get what I want. No. Barrett came along and he's taking over. That's something else you'll learn. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. He came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We know that Paul was dealing with the Gentile Jew issue here. The fact that the Gentiles were not welcome in so many of the practices that were privy to the Jewish religion. Next verse. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints. Now, some of you here used to be fellow citizens with the ain'ts. I ain't got no money. Ain't been sober in forever. Ain't had a good job. Ain't had nobody to love me. Ain't nobody understands what I'm going through. Ain't. I ain't happy. I ain't healed. I ain't whole. Ain't going to heaven. Fellow citizens with the ain'ts. Now, see, that would be improper grammar, but now they have added ain't to the dictionary. So all of us that used to use it in an improper way, we won. But now we're fellow citizens with what? The saints and of the household of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm excited about being saved. I'm thankful for the word of God in my life. I'm thankful for the family of God. We ought to lift our hands to the Lord again this morning and thank him for the joy that he's given us and the peace that passes all understanding. The strength of God that has come by his word and the work on that old rugged cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you shout to him one more time? Praise God. Thank you, and Lord bless you. You may be seated. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but it can be quite awkward. One of the most awkward moments is the feeling you get when you feel like a stranger in the crowd, in a place, you know, where you don't feel welcome. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, "You ain't from around here, are you?" Okay, like for instance, when you go to a particular place in Florida and you pronounce it Kissimmee instead of Kissimmee, they know pretty quick that you're a tourist. Excuse me, what'd you say? "Yeah, I'm trying to find Kissimmee, Florida." "You ain't from around here, are you?" "No, not exactly." And so you kind of feel out of place, or you feel like, I just know if I open my mouth and say anything, I'm going to stick my foot in it and be chewing on toe jam the rest of the day. I didn't mean to ruin your appetite. Just a stranger. You know, you get in certain places and you don't feel welcome. I don't know if you've ever been to France. I didn't feel welcome as an American in France. And I'm not here to preach against the French. This is some places you go, you just don't feel welcome. I mean, it's like, if you ask for directions, it's like they wanted to spit on you. And then they'd give them to you wrong on purpose. We're trying to ask a guy who could speak English, "Where's the Louvre?" You know, it's only where the Mona Lisa is. And you've probably lived here your whole life. But then he started pointing off in some direction. I said, "Babe, we ain't going to trust him. Because he knows we're a stranger and he's treating us like one." And most of you today can probably relate or remember to the first time you came to a Pentecostal church. Amen? I mean, you got to looking around at these folks and started running. He's like, "I thought I was at a church. I didn't know I went to a workout place." You was like, "Where's the elliptical machines and the treadmills?" No, these folks are exercising faith because they love God and they're excited that they're no more strangers and they're not foreigners to the fire of God that falls, and they're not aliens to the anointing of God that breaks the yoke, and they're not strangers anymore to the strength that comes in the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. But you know, you got to looking around, you know, your head turned on a swivel. Your eyes probably bugged out. Your mouth maybe got unhinged a time or two. First time you got around some Pentecostals, or the first time that you heard that shrill outburst of a sister who had been so burdened for something in God. When she got into the service, she couldn't contain it anymore. But the more you got to hanging around it, you know, you weren't a stranger anymore. You got to be a part of this thing. You got close to it. You experienced it. You got the taste of it. When you started tasting of the well, when you got your first drink from the waters of living water, when you got your first touch by the glory of God that could save you out of sin, then you understood why they were standing like that, why they were dancing like that, why they were shouting like that, why they were running like that, why they were so delighted to be in the presence of the Lord, because they are no more strangers. They're not spiritual vagabonds anymore, living out of cardboard boxes of pride and living off of sin scraps and just trying to get by out of the trash bins of rebellion and trying to figure out where the next dollar's going to come from. No, you're not a stranger anymore. You're not a foreigner. You're in the house of God.
And that's why we preach the name of Jesus. When you start studying about strangers, that word stranger, these writers, like Apostle Paul, was very familiar with the Republic in Athens and how that you could go there and visit and you were welcome there. But you couldn't be in any of the management affairs. In fact, you couldn't even have any kind of business transactions in the town without doing it in the name of a local patron. You had to attach yourself to somebody in order to get business done because you were a stranger. Now, you could observe, but you couldn't participate. But aren't you thankful tonight that when you get to thinking about the name which is above every name, the Bible says we're strangers in this world as children of God. And sometimes we wonder, how are we going to make the transactions necessary to get by? But we know somebody whose name is above every name. And when I associated with him, when I got connected to that man, Christ Jesus, one mediator between God and man, when that blood washed me clean, when that Holy Ghost fire touched my life, I had a name I could do business in. I had a name I could do transactions of truth in. I had a name I could get involved in management decisions. I didn't just have to be an observer. I could be a praiser. I could be a participator. I could taste of the holy things of God. Oh, let's lift our hands and love him all over this house. Come on, if you remember where God brought you from, get on your feet and give him an ovation. If you remember what it was like, where you used to live, where you used to dwell, the environment that you once settled for, but now you are no longer a stranger. You may be seated. And I was thinking, you know, it'd be strange for somebody that lived in an arid climate, you know, a desert place, to move somewhere like a tropical zone where it rained all the time. It didn't just rain in mists, it rained in gallons. And how it'd be like an outsider trying to figure that out, an outsider trying to understand the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Well, all we got to tell you is just move in with us. Just go home, pack your bags of guilt, get all your boxes of shame, put them in the moving van. Get all your successes and your failures, ambitions and dreams and hopes and things that have happened good and those bad. We take it all. Rich, poor, young, old, or in between. We'll love you. You just move in with us. And after a while, you won't just have to stay in the guest house. We'll let you come on in the house. And you can make yourself at home. You can go to the refrigerator. You can get you some bread of Holy Ghost blessing. Whatever you need in God, you can get it. You don't have to be a stranger to love. You don't have to be a foreigner to freedom today. Do you know why I'm free? I'm free because I'm forgiven. Hey, there's no greater feeling than to know that Jesus went to a cross for me. I couldn't save myself. I didn't have the solution to all my problems. I couldn't anchor myself in a place of steadiness and hope and healing. But Jesus, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he did it for me. When all the medications of the world couldn't cure you, when all of the philosophies didn't have an answer for you, when the mathematicians couldn't give you the statistics of where to even look for it, when all of the scientists said, hey, look through this NASA telescope and you might find it through that electron microscope. It didn't work because the only one that could save us, the only one that could get us out of the foreign world of fear, the only one that could get us out of the alienated realm of abuse and loneliness was God. And when the Son of God was stretched out on that tree of torture and the blood began to spill, something else began to open up. A door of hope, a gate of salvation, a window of blessing. Come on, let's love him. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel like somebody wants to stand up and throw up your hands toward heaven and say, God, I'm in your house. I'm your child. I know where you brought me from. I remember the misery club I lived in at one time, and I kept a lot of company. You remember the addictions. You remember you couldn't keep the syringe full enough. You couldn't keep enough bottles of beer in your refrigerator. You couldn't find enough excitement in your indiscriminate behavior and promiscuity, living from one illicit affair to the other. But when you came to God, you traded misery as a stranger for mercy as a fellow citizen. You traded loneliness for the love of God, and you found out that the love of God was incomparable to anything in the world. See, you had people in the world that loved you as long as dot, dot, dot. They always had an ellipsis on the end of it. Yeah, as long as you stay right, or as long as you can do something for me, as long as you meet something that I have as a requirement in my selfish agenda, I love you. As long as you stay pretty, as long as you're making that kind of money, yeah, I'll love you. But when you came to church, you found out God didn't have any reason to love me. I tore up everything I touched. I messed up everything I got involved in. And when you came to God, you realized, man, look at how glorious he is. What does he see in me? That's my child. That's what I see. I see a new creation. That's what I see. I see somebody coming out of hell and living in hope. I see somebody coming out of darkness and being a testimony, shining like a diamond that's been cut out of the rough-hewn mountains of sin. I see somebody who's going to be a testimony to a troubled world. That's what I see. And you found out, hey, ain't no love like that love. You think I'm going to walk away from that love for some little old affair? You think I'm going to walk away from that love for some alternative lifestyle? You think folks ought to walk away from the love of God for some temporary affection on this planet? You can't find love like you find among the fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, let's love him again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell somebody today, maybe you've been depressed. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've been disappointed. Look around you. Some of these folks standing right now that look like they've got everything. Some of them act like they've got $1 million in the bank. And they ain't got no money. That's that ain't word again. They don't have any money. They're broke, but they've got riches and grace. Because money can't buy this. Blood's already paid for it. You can't come into the kingdom of God and say, well, I'd pay this amount to have that joy. Hey, it's already paid for. You just got to come and collect it at an old rugged cross. You got to become a possessor of the promise. You don't have to be a stranger. You don't have to be despondent. You don't think some of these folks, I can tell, I can feel it in the Holy Ghost, that they haven't had disappointment. But when they come into the house of God, I put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, because I'm a fellow citizen with the saints of God. See, that garment of praise in Isaiah 61 and 3, that literally is a vibrant colored garment that was used for celebration. So when I come into the house of God, I'm putting on a garment of praise. I'm taking off the sackcloth of heaviness. I'm taking off the drab clothing of disappointment and discouragement and earthly despondency. I'm putting on a garment. I dance today because I've been delivered. I shout because somebody told me about a Savior that would share all of heaven with me. Hey, I run today because I've been redeemed. I do that because I am a fellow citizen with the saints. See, and when I put on that garment of praise, it reappraises my situation. You know, if you've got property and you have somebody come out and give you an appraisal, and you go, man, That's like 10, 15% less than what I thought it was worth. And you know, when you come to the house of God, the enemy gets to looking. You can be seated. The enemy gets to looking at you going, yeah, you ain't worth much. But you start praising God, and all that condemnation and all the corrosion of the world's ideologies and methodologies that start pulling you down, they, you know, you start getting more value. You know why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. See, this church ain't worth much until God gets in it. We start praising God, the value goes up because God shows up. Hey, I ain't worth much, but my value went up when God showed up and he put his spirit in me and I start praising him. It reappraises my situation. It takes those things that are seemingly worthless and makes it valuable again. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Lift your hands to the Lord and worship him in Jesus' name. Whoa, my God. Hyundai, I'm on. I want you to shout to the top of your lungs, I am worth something.
I am worth something.
Yeah, come on, somebody shout it with her. I am worth something. I'm worth the blood of the greatest man that ever walked this planet. Huh? I was worthy enough that God would robe himself in flesh and become the likeness of sinful flesh, walk down the staircase of sin into my domain so that I could get an escalator out of my darkness into his realm of light. Hey, I was worth that.
Let's talk to him, church. Lift your hands and thank him one more time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today, you're worth more than disappointment. You're worth more than discouragement. You were not designed for failure. You were designed for fruitfulness. See, the promise that Adam lost because of sin, we gained back through the blood of the old rugged cross. Jesus gave us back the power to replenish the earth. Now, it's not just replenishing the earth in a physical sense of birth, but more importantly, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth experience through the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it is preached, we begin to replenish the earth by those who are born again of the water and of the Spirit. Hey, we were designed to be successful. So just because you've gone through a few hours of failure, a few moments of falling down, get up off of that ground and keep going forward. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say it's going to happen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister, I see what I'm hearing in the Holy Ghost right now is it's at 180. You think you can't see it because it's at 180. The Lord said it's going to come 360. Huh? See, when the earth is turning, eventually it turns its back on the sun. The sun sets. There's darkness that sets in, but it ain't going to stay that way because the planet is still rotating on that axis. That means dawn is coming. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh. You're just at the 180 right now, sister. Come on out in this aisle for a minute. In the name of Jesus. Hey, but it's coming full circle. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to just keep trusting God. I'm just going to keep obeying the man of God. I'm going to keep walking in faith because I know God is not a liar. I wish somebody would shout unto the Lord.
Hey, you don't have to just let it be a word for her. If you want to receive the power of that word today, you can say, hey, I've been sitting in the darkness, but I know it ain't going to stay this way. The sun is going to rise. The dawn of my blessing is coming. The rays of revival are going to fall on my family. Reach over and pray for somebody right now next to you and say, come on, brother, come on, sister. It ain't going to stay that way. It ain't going to stay that way. That backslider is going to come home. We still believe that son or daughter is coming to God. We still believe that your breakthrough is right there. We still believe in a healing God. We still believe in a miracle right in the midst of impossibility. We still believe. Why? Because we're citizens. We are fellow citizens in the household of God. These are privileges that are ours. These are promises that belong to us. Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Be seated for a moment. Anybody been disappointed lately? Stand up. Been disappointed with somebody, something? My goodness. And y'all were shouting a minute ago. See, that's what I'm talking about. What I love is that you're not letting your circumstance rule you. You still believe in a supernatural God. You still believe in the sovereignty of your king sitting on the, and you're in his kingdom. I live in the city of faith. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. That means I have privileges. Sometimes those privileges make the devil mad, because sometimes those privileges don't show up in me just always having triumph. Sometimes they show up in the midst of my trouble and I'm still loving God. Say you're sick as a dog and dancing under the Lord. That gives the devil fits. He doesn't know what to do with you. When you're laid out on your back and you're discouraged and questioning God every 5 minutes, then he's got you in his vice grip. But when you come to the house of God and you see everybody else getting healed and you ain't been healed yet, but you still throw up your hands toward heaven, you know what you're saying to God? Hey, I don't know when my miracle's coming, but I know I'm a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. I belong here. I ain't going anywhere. I want to give you something from the Holy Ghost. Be seated just for a moment. A few weeks ago, as my routine is, I got up early and got dressed and had my bags packed, loaded up my Ford Expedition and got ready to drive out to the airport, which is about a 35 to 40 minute drive depending on traffic. And the theme of the day started out windy. The wind was whipping pretty good in Denver that morning. We live in southwest community of Denver called Highlands Ranch. And so when I got in my truck, and I've got a four-wheel drive SUV, and so it's heavy and hugs the road well. But, man, that wind was blowing me all over the place. 30 and 40 mile an hour gusts. And some parts of Denver had snowed the night before. And as I got on C-470 to head toward the airport, it merges with a toll road called E-470. When I got to E-470, that's where I could see the sprinklings of the snow, and it was blowing across the road, and at times that wind would make it seem like a whiteout. And occasionally, I changed lanes involuntarily. Didn't even have to put my blinker on. Just wind said, you're going to get over in this lane for a while. Let's put you back over here. No, we're not going into the median. We'll stay right over here. Got to the airport and went through my routine, checked in, went through security and got down to the gate. And, of course, because of the wind, the flight was delayed for about an hour. I was supposed to be flying into Jackson, Mississippi, and had to take a route through Dallas-Fort Worth, connect to an American Airlines flight into Jackson, Mississippi. Finally, the flight left, and I knew I'd still have time to get to Dallas and make my connection because I originally had about a two-and-a-half-hour layover. Well, we get about 100 miles from Dallas. We're starting to make our descent. We're having to start, shut down our electronics and sit up our
put up our tray tables in an upright position and put our seats back upright. And he comes right back on and says, oh, we're not going to be able to land in Dallas-Fort Worth. They've diverted us to San Antonio. The winds are so bad in Dallas, they've shut the airport down. I got to get to Jackson, but we're going in the opposite direction. So we get to San Antonio. When we land in San Antonio, I look out the window because I have a window seat, and I can see 15 American Airlines planes just sitting on the runway. They've come from all over the country. They can't get into Dallas, and I knew we were in trouble because I knew they would have first choice. American Airlines hub is in Dallas. I was on a United flight at that particular moment. We can't even get to a gate. We just have to sit out on the tarmac. And he crackles over the intercom. They're sending Greyhound buses. We're going to bus you to Dallas. Oh, that's exciting. I can just see now. I got to hold this big old bag in my lap for 4.5 hours just to get to Dallas. So I get on the phone. I'm on the phone with the United representative, you know, because I've got a little bit of leverage with United. I fly them mainly, and I've got miles and so on. And what can you do? Can you take me through Chicago and get me into Memphis? Get me to Memphis. It's 2.5 hours. I can drive from there. You don't want to go to Chicago. They're about to get hit with a blizzard. Okay. Can you get me through Houston? Get me on a Continental? No, they're all booked. Well, what about Dallas? How am I going to get to Dallas? Well, they've already canceled all your flights. American Airlines has, all of them for the rest of the day. They've, at this point, rebooked you on a flight at 9:45 in the morning. I said, that's not going to work. I got a service in the morning at a church at 10 o'clock. I got to be there. I knew I had a word from God. Got to be there. So then I hang up with them and I go, whoo, I ain't getting on a Greyhound bus. Just get me off this plane. If I could just get off this plane. Thankfully, I had a carry-on. So I had got my carry-on bag, got my computer case, and they finally let me off. And I went down to the car rental desks. And I went one after another. No, we don't have any one-way rentals. No. Got to the last one, National and Alamo. Do you have any one-way rentals to Jackson, Mississippi? Sir, we don't go into jet. Oh, yes, we do. Jackson, well, we just happen to have one left. I'll take it. Not even realizing at that particular moment, I've got a 10-hour drive ahead of me now. And it's already about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But I knew God wanted me in Jackson on Sunday morning. So I got in my car, smiled. Sun was shining. I was like, man, where are the storms at? Duh, that's why they brought you to San Antonio. So I stop at a truck stop. I get me one of them little DC to AC adapters so I could plug my computer up. I know. You're going to look at me like my mom did. You're going to work on your computer while you're driving? Yeah, I'm pretty good with one hand. Study my notes right there. Got it right there. Oh, no. I didn't trust the $9.99 buffet, so I got me some Tostitos Scoops chips, you know, and some bean dip. And some Vienna sausages. That was my filet mignon with lobster tail of choice. I got me a Red Bull energy drink, only one. And I got me a big tall root beer and headed down the road. Man, I was eating chips and having a good time, and the sun is shining. I'm like just moving along, and I got my computer going. I'm studying notes, trying not to run over anything or anyone. Everything went well, made good time up to Houston, slowed down a little bit around downtown Houston because I was on 10 East, and then it picked up okay. Man, I thought, boy, I'm going to make good time. Everything went good until I crossed the Texas-Louisiana line, and I got close to Lake Charles. And just as I was going through Lake Charles, I could look out into the distance, and I could see fingers of electricity dancing. It was just like this, lightning. And I could feel the first vibrations of the thunder in the distance. And it shook. And I thought, oh, here's the reason why Dallas-Fort Worth was shut down till about 8 o'clock tonight. As I got through Lake Charles, about 15 miles out of Lake Charles, I felt the first pelts of rain hit my windshield. I was hoping I wouldn't have to use the windshield wipers, but used them I did. And I'm telling you, it seemed like the whole ocean had evaporated and was dumped right on my car. I'm serious. You know, if you folks, these folks are from Louisiana. They know what kind of rain I'm talking about.
It ain't just this little old nice, dainty rain. When it rains in Louisiana, it's, it ain't cats and dogs. It's cows and bulls. It is raining. And it's raining, and I'm like this. And then I get through Lafayette, the crawfish capital of the world. I could have stopped and enjoyed a good crawfish boil. But oh no, I got to get to Jackson because God wants me to give a word to that church on Sunday morning. When I got through Lafayette, there's about a 39, 40 mile stretch. You know what I'm talking about, that lonely bridge over the Atchafalaya. And I lie not. It was the worst part of the storm. I couldn't hardly see. There's nowhere really to exit. Well, unless you want to go into the swamp. And I really didn't want to go crawfish hunting, so I stayed on the road best I could. And I really started praying this. I put my knee and propped it under the steering wheel for a moment and threw up my hands. And I said, Lord, if you would please, because I was somewhat a mixture of apprehension and humor. That's how I pray a lot of times when I get nervous. I get a little bit desperate and a little bit giddy. And I said, God, if you wouldn't mind, put an angel on both sides of this car. And sometimes when that wind would push me over, I'd go, hey, God, this angel over here, he needs to be reassigned. He ain't doing his job. We need somebody else to show up and go, no, I'm serious. I'm not just making this up. And, man, I got into travail a couple of times because it got so bad. And it was like the Lord said to me, boy, you weren't praying like this back in San Antonio and Houston when the sun was shining. You got a little louder lately. Different circumstances. Finally got to Baton Rouge, made it. Ain't no telling how many tornadoes went overhead. Finally got to Baton Rouge, and the storm broke. I talked to my mother on the phone, and she says, oh, yeah, the radar looks good. Looks like you went through the last tail, and it looks like it'd be smooth all the way, the rest of the way. Talked to Brother Hansel Stanley, pastor's assistant to Brother Kraft and Jack. Told me the same thing. Yeah, you came. Almost identical words, and they're 300 miles apart. And So I drove a little ways, and you know where 10 becomes 12, and then I could get on 55 north. So now I've been going east the whole time. But now I change directions and start going north. And I got to thinking later, now I could have preached in San Antonio and Houston and Baton Rouge and Lake Charles and Lafayette. And I've preached all along there. Denham Springs. Could have went on to Pensacola. Just forget going 55 north. We'll just go on to Pensacola. I'll preach for my friend Brother Kinsey. We'll go over there. What do you think? No, the Lord said, I want you in Jackson. So I turn 55 north, and I'm driving along about 20 miles, and I look out my left, and I see dancing fingers of lightning, blankets of black rolling in. Of course, it was already dark, so it was already black. It's the same storm coming at me. I talked to my mom and Brother Stanley the next day. Brother Stanley said, yeah, you know, after I talked to you on the phone, I got to looking at the radar again on the online, and he said, man, you went through red. I said, I appreciate the phone call. You know, when it's yellow, that's light rain. When it's red, that's tornadic. I appreciate the heads up. Because here comes the rain again. I'm 100 miles from Jackson, and the storm hits the strongest of the night. And for about 35 to 45 minutes, I am Mr. Tension. And I've got the steering wheel grip like this. I can't even get any more Tostitos and bean dip. I'm on the steering wheel like this. And oh, God, help me. I'm tired. I've refused to get a hotel because I've already come now 7 or 8 hours. I'm going to Jackson. I don't care if I got to get one of them chariots of Elijah. Tornadoes just pick me up and just take me on over there. I'm getting to Jackson. I'm like Johnny Cash. I'm going to Jackson. Y'all ain't supposed to know that anyway. I don't know where it came from out preaching today either. But I'm just driving along, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And he said, you know, this is like a lot of people. They wonder why they're facing the same storm again. And they think they're facing the same storm because they're being punished or they made the wrong decision. He said, it's not that. He said, it's because I told them to have a change of direction. I told them to go a different route. They were going one direction, and I told them to take another. And the direction they were taking, they'd already been through. See, I'd already come through that storm. But when I went 55 north, I turned back into the storm and had to go through it again. because God didn't want me in Pensacola, and he didn't want me in Houston and San Antonio or Baton Rouge or Lake Charles or the crawfish capital of the world. He wanted me in Jackson, Mississippi, because I had a word for somebody on Sunday morning. And when God has a destination for you, don't let the storm make you settle for something else. See, your destiny is you're a revival church. You're a harvest church. You're a Bible study church. That's the direction. And sometimes, because you take that direction, you turn into neighborhoods where the devil saying, you better not go there because I'm going to make you fight for it. And you're going to say, I'm ready for a fight. You roll your sleeves up because you say, I've already been through the storm. See, you don't let going through the storm again put fear in you. You don't let the going through the storm again tell you what a failure you are. You just say, hey, this is another opportunity for God's power to be displayed. This is another hour for his grace to be revealed. If you have been spoken to by your pastor, by a prophet or an evangelist, or in an hour of prayer that's been in harmony with what you've been taught lately, and God's been telling you to take a little bit different direction than what you've been going, in obedience to the man of God in your life, you've taken that direction, but all of a sudden, you start facing some offense and some storm and thunder and temptation you ain't faced in a long time. And you thought you'd already been through that. And why am I going through it again? Let me tell you why. Because God knows where you're supposed to be going, and hell doesn't want you to get there. This is what Jesus tried to put in his disciples after he'd been teaching the multitude all day, and they got on the boat and the storm didn't hit when they were near the shore. It hit when they were out in the midst of the sea. I mean, they were already too far to go back and they might as well go on. That's where some of you are. You've already gone too far to go back. You might as well go on. You're going to face just as much of the storm by going ahead as if you turn around and go back. The storm's going to hit you either way. So if it's going to hit me, either direction I take, let me go God's direction. Let me go according to the word of the Lord. Everybody stand and everybody lift your hands and your voice unto the Lord for a moment right now in the name of Jesus. If you've been told lately, don't go there. But you know what the man of God has taught you, and you know what God's been dealing with you about, and you've gone in that direction anyway, and you've begun to face the storm because of it. I want you to get out of your seat quickly and walk down to this front quickly. Come on. Some of you that were standing a few moments ago because of disappointment, I want you to get down here quickly. Come on, quick, quick. When you come down here, lift up your hands to the Lord and let's wait on God together. The Holy Ghost is trying to tell some folks in this house today, you haven't made a bad decision. When you're obedient to God, that's never bad. When you're trusting the man of God in your life and you're going according to godly counsel that has come out of spiritual prayer rooms, you're not wrong. Don't let the storm of hell tell you that you're wrong when you're trying your best to do right. Come on, lift up your hands and your voice unto the Lord. Listen for a moment. Listen. Young lady, I want to tell you today, there are more victories than there are losses. That's where you're headed. More victories than losses. There's been losses. We all suffer losses. And it'd be like a team looking at the win-loss column going, man, I got 55 losses and only 10 wins. But you're headed for a season in God when the win column, somebody lift your voice up to the Lord and shout, I believe it. That's why I appreciate what the man of God said earlier about believing. You can't just believe it. That's like having a map saying, yeah, I believe there's a state called Mississippi. But until you get in your car and take action from Texas to drive to Mississippi, your belief ain't getting you anywhere. Your belief has got to get some legs on it. And some of you, God is moving in a transition from believing you can do it to doing it. Lift your hands to the Lord and pray right now. All over this house in the name of Jesus. All I feel it, Lord, in this house right now. Some of you have lived in disappointment and you've been holding on to promises of God. You've had them spoken over you and they haven't come to pass yet. But I encourage you today, keep going, keep driving. Don't let the storm turn you back. Don't let the strong winds of condemnation or skepticism blow you away from it. You stay steady on that road and keep driving and keep walking that path. In the name of Jesus. I want you to reach over and take your neighbor's hand right now and lift it up as a fellow citizen in the house of God. There's some things that are going on individually in this church, but I believe God is speaking a word to this congregation as a whole. God's taking you even in a different direction. That's what happens in a growing, maturing church. That's what happens when some have left and others come. That's what happens when new leadership gets formed under the pastor and pastoral hand and direction. There's some folks getting ready to rise up, and you're not just going to talk about what you think God wants you to do. You're going to begin to do it. But because you make a decision to do it, you're going to suffer some things again. But let the again cause you to get bitter. Understand, like going east and then north, you may have to go through that storm again to get to the destination God has prepared for you. Don't settle for another place. If God has appointed you for revival in your home, revival on your job, revival in your finances. I tell you what I need. I need about 100 crazy Pentecostals to lift up their voice as loud as it'll go in here for a few minutes and begin to shout it and begin to believe it again and again and see where you are on your road and know, hey, come on. Come here, sister. Come here. Come up here. I am a sundala makanda. Handala right here. That's the sister right here. Listen, listen to the word of the Lord, church. It's like when I looked at you, it's like I could see somebody driving, and you think, man, I'm too far. I feel the Holy Ghost want me to tell you, you ain't as far as you think. You're not as far as you think. It'd be like, they say, what's north of here about 100 miles? Huntsville, okay. It'd be like thinking, man, I'm still 100 miles from Huntsville, and all of a sudden you drive and you look up and the sign says 25 miles. That's what I saw in the Holy Ghost. You still got a ways to go, but you ain't it ain't as far as you think. And if you'll just keep going, lift your hands to the Lord. All He wants to hear from you today is, I'm willing. In the name of Jesus. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, however you want me to, somebody lift your voice and shout it unto the Lord again in the name of Jesus. You need to hear it as well today. Some of you are not as far as you think you are from your destination. Don't exit now. Don't settle down now. Don't camp where you are now. Keep going. Keep going. Come on, pray for one another in the name of Jesus. Come on, pray for one another. Lay hands on somebody next to you and begin to pray for them. Hey, this is my fellow citizen in the house of God. We're going somewhere together. God's got us on a train as a church. He knows the route. He knows the twists and the turns, the mountain locations and the valleys that we're going to have to go through. But we're in it together. And the destination that God has for us is going to be worth every struggle, every trial, every adversity, every demonic resistance. Come on, don't stop praying. Come on, pray like you got a fire on your tongue. Come on, pray with a passion flowing out of your spirit again today. I hear the thunder, but it's okay. I see the lightning striking in the distance, but it's okay. I know I'm going the right way, because this is what the man of God's been teaching us. Hey, this is what God has been dealing with us about. I'm not turning around. I'm not going pride's route. I'm not going rebellion's avenue. I'm going to stay on this way of faith. Come on now, as we begin to minister in song and worshiping in the spirit, let your faith continue to minister to one another. Through the laying on of hands, through words of faith, intercession and prayer. Hallelujah.